Hi, my name is Blythe Alberg, and I would like to welcome you to the Cut the Fat podcast. Visit us at www.cutthefatpodcast.com. If you're new to us, we suggest that you listen to the first 3 to 5 podcasts for the basic toolbox on fat loss.
Well, good evening, everybody. My name is Dr. Ray Heinisch. I'm joined here in the studio with Blythe Alberg. Good evening, Blythe.
Hi, Ray. How's it going?
Oh, man. Everything's fantastic on my side. How about yours?
Everything's great. Thanks. I'm revved up for tonight's show, actually.
Okay. Well, tonight's show, we're going to be talking about basically how to get out of your own way, right?
Yes. Well, the technical term we have for it is stimulus control, which sounds so technical. But yeah, really, it is kind of diagnosing what your habits are and your biggest obstacles that stand in the way for weight loss.
And then basically building your life so that you promote success as it pertains to weight loss, right?
Yeah, it's basically going in with a plan.
Right. Now, we're all human. Every single one of us, I would assume, who's listening to this podcast is a human being, right?
There may be some dogs out there listening, but...
And so we all make mistakes. We all have obstacles in our life, right, that get in the way and take us off course for a period of time. You know, we've talked about how it's all about consistency, about when you do fall, getting up back on your feet and back on the program, right?
Right, yeah. Next day, get everything, or even if it's the next meal, get everything right back on board and back to the plan.
But let's say you're walking into your house and you trip over this board that's sitting in the middle of the floor. And you do what we say. You get back up on your feet and you continue about your day, right?
Right. The day's not over because you tripped.
Right. But at the same time, you're not going to leave the board in the middle of the floor. So that's what today's show is about. It's about first diagnosing the problem and then picking up the board and moving it out of the way, right?
Sounds great.
Okay. So let's go ahead and just get started. We basically have about 7 main types of obstacles. And within those types of obstacles, we have specifics that we're going to get into. But let's go ahead and start with the first one, which we've talked about briefly before. And this is basically the time obstacles. We mentioned, man, it is probably the number one reason people give for not being able to live a healthy lifestyle.
It's got to be number one by far because it comes out of everybody's mouth. And I will tell you, I'm guilty of it coming out of my mouth at some point in time. You know, I just don't have enough time to go take that class or prepare my food or whatever it is.
Right. Well, this time obstacle is a cop-out.
You know, I totally agree. It's a
cop-out.
We each have 24 hours in a day.
It doesn't matter if you're a mother, an office worker, the president of the United States, if you're Bill Gates, it doesn't matter. Everybody gets 24 hours a day, right?
Right. But what it comes down to is how you manage that time. Mm-hmm. And something you and I had touched on before was multitasking. Say, listening to our podcast while you're driving to work in the morning or while you're driving to your workout. Something else you could do if you're a student or someone who has to catch up on your reading or wants to catch up on your reading. Why not walk on the treadmill or ride a stationary bike while you're doing that?
Yeah, you know, Tony Robbins calls this net time, or what stands for no extra time. And it just basically involves combining 2 or more activities or, you know, things that you do to achieve 2 of your goals together. So you basically gain leverage.
Right.
On your own brain, basically.
Yeah.
You know, if you do something or you don't do something, it's basically determined by how many Y2s you have versus how many Y-not-2s, right?
Okay.
Like if you're, for instance, if you're talking about going to the gym, the reason you decide to go to the gym is because you have more Y2s than you have Y-not-2s. Does that make sense?
Right. For sure.
So if we combine 2 things, for instance, you mentioned walking on the treadmill while listening to an audiobook, or, you know, for many of us, it's an absolute must that we go out and we watch, for instance, the series Lost or 24 or whatever your crutch is.
Right.
But if you absolutely must watch those shows, you might as well do it while walking on the treadmill or riding a stationary bike, right?
Sure, because I'm not here to negate the importance of watching a television show, although that doesn't fall high on my priority list. However, if that's the one thing you look forward to for the end of the day, you know, you may start looking forward to that walk that you do while you're watching the show. And
right.
I think studies prove that your body releases those really feel-good endorphins while you're exercising.
Mm-hmm.
You may have a better experience watching that show just by walking on the treadmill or riding the
bike. Very, very true.
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line is, You know, when you say, I don't have enough time, what you're really saying is you can't fit all of your tasks into one day. So you've got to do something to correct that. I mean, if you're really that busy, you've got to just sit back and you've got to sit down or stand up and write out what are the priorities in your life. And I guarantee you, at least 50% of the things that you're doing, you don't have to be doing. You can either delegate or get rid of entirely.
Yep, I totally agree. And I don't think it's very often that people sit down and assess all of the things they enjoy doing versus the things they have to get done. And there are a lot of activities that can be combined.
Absolutely. So just really think about that. What are my why to's and why are and what are my why not to's? And then once you know that, you can really start to kind of shift those the weight on those sides of the scale. You know, just find more why to's and find less why not to's.
Yep. Sounds great. That's a great idea.
Okay. Let's go on to the next one.
And that is number two, preparation obstacles. So in the absence of good foods and choices of things to do, anything will do. So if you've got an apple sitting there on your desk, you're probably going to reach for that before you get up out of your chair and go, you know, get something out of the vending machine or whatever. Make sure healthy choices are readily available for you.
And if they're not, what does your brain turn to? Anything. It turns to anything. Whatever you can get your hands on. And it's usually good tasting foods, right?
Good tasting foods. That's the key. And, you know, I think that's why fast food is such a quick and easy sell, because people get so hungry by the end of the day. It's quick. It's easy. The kids are in the back of the car. Everybody gets quiet. It leads to a quiet ride home. You know, it's just so convenient. So make healthy things convenient.
Right. So by preparing your life, preparing your foods, preparing your activities for the day. For instance, one way that we can kind of prep the life for weight loss success is basically do the kitchen clean out. You know,
yes.
I oftentimes recommend this to people who are basically just now getting started with the program. Mm-hmm. You've got to get all the stuff that is easy to grip as far as the bad foods out of your life, right? So you have to go into the refrigerator, the freezer, the pantry.
Every little nook and cranny, because you know that junk food is hidden in there somewhere. And if it is in your house, you will find it, especially those moments of weakness when, you know, after dinner, you're standing there looking through the cupboard for something sweet. If there's nothing sweet there, the moment will pass and you'll be fine.
Right.
But if you've, you know, you've left something in the cupboard above the refrigerator and you know it's there in the back of your mind, you're going to reach for it, aren't you?
Absolutely will. And so that's part one. Part two then is restocking, right?
Yes, restocking. Make sure that you have a lot of good foods that are extremely easy to prepare, things you can just reach for and eat. You know, carrot sticks, celery sticks, fruits and vegetables are very, very easy. There are lots of healthy alternatives that you can get out there, and hard-boiled eggs, things like that.
To make it simple, really, it's about making the bad foods harder to come by.
Yes.
And making the good foods very easy to come by.
Bottom line, that's what it is.
We were talking about this prior to the show, where we were talking about if we had, for instance, let's say we had we enjoyed eating chocolate muffins.
Okay.
If we had to make a chocolate muffin from scratch.
Every time you felt like eating it. Right.
You think you would eat it as much as if you had a six pack of those muffins from Giant sitting on your countertop?
Right. So the convenience of it is there. I know that I'm almost satiated by smelling the muffins, stirring up the mix, watching them bake. And by the time they're done, I don't want them half as bad as I did when I had the idea that I wanted a muffin.
Right. It's not that you don't want them. It's that it's not as strong at that point.
It's not as strong. So it's probably, you know, comes to willpower at that point, and I can probably let that one slide.
Right. So bottom line, make the good foods easy to come by and make the bad foods difficult to come by.
That's
a simple thing you can implement in your life, right?
I think everybody can do that.
One other thing is to inventory your boredom, right? You know, we had one of our listeners write us about how they took on a new job. It's a night job as a security guard. And every hour they have to get up and they have to walk the grounds.
Yes.
And then the next hour they sit in an office. And while they're sitting in their office, they get bored. And guess what creeps in?
Eating.
Hunger.
All right. So she's bored. And then she's eating for that hour, saying, I have to sit in this office. Well, I know one of the things that we had suggested was you don't actually have to sit in the office. You can stand up. There are probably activities you can do other than eating. while you're in there. So come prepared. Bring a book. Bring something that you know you're going to get involved in.
This goes back to that vacuum principle. You know, in a vacuum, basically your body wants to fill the space. Your brain wants to fill the space with something.
Yes.
So when you're bored, your brain wants to fill that boredom with something. And what's the easiest thing to do? Eat.
It is easy. And it tastes good. It makes you feel a certain way until after you eat it. And, you know, then you've got like the eater's remorse.
Right. Exactly.
Kind of like buyer's remorse, but with eating.
Yeah. But you forget about that eater's remorse very quickly.
Yeah,
you know, once the hunger creeps back in. So that's the problem is, you know, if we were buying a car and we had buyer's remorse, you know, we might not buy another car in the same way. But with eater's remorse, when the hunger creeps back in, you forget about it, right?
You're right. Well, that kind of leads us to the next one. Number three, we have habitual obstacles. I think boredom and eating go hand in hand, and it does become habitual. You and I had touched on before sitting down and eating and making your eating an actual activity. So you know, it's rather than eating on the go, sit down and eat. So your brain actually processes that you're sitting down and you're feeding yourself. And after you're finished, give yourself 20 minutes or so and you'll feel the fullness. Getting into a habit of just doing that will start changing some of the false hunger feelings.
Right. We call that mindful eating. We talked about it in a previous podcast, mindful eating. And then we talked about mindless eating as well. Which it turns out is a trademarked topic, and I found that out by receiving a letter from the good doctor's PR firm, I guess. But we gave credit where credit was due in that case, right?
Mm-hmm, we sure did.
And anyway, moving on. So talking about habitual obstacles, you know, every one of us has found ourselves standing in front of a refrigerator and having absolutely no idea how we got there.
Yeah, I was telling Ray, even my two-year-old does this, and I don't know that he's actually developed the habit, but he's seen everybody else in the house open the fridge and stand in front of it and just look. He's just staring into space, not for anything, you know, actually that he's particularly looking for, but he's just doing it because everybody else does it. So he's developing that habit already.
That's an example of habitual obstacles. And the only way that I know of that we can correct for that in our lives is to develop systems for breaking the patterns. So let's take an example. Let's take this example of the refrigerator issue. Instead, and oftentimes it's not just standing and staring in front of the refrigerator. It's also reaching in, grabbing something, throwing it in your mouth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably something that's very convenient, probably something that tastes really good, and probably something that wasn't on your dinner plate.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, we talked about how you seem to be in this trance after you eat a big meal.
Yeah,
you
just
ate.
Yeah.
And you're standing in front of the refrigerator and you're thinking to yourself, what the heck am I doing here? I just had a huge meal.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to break the patterns and you've got to build systems into your life that help you break those patterns. For instance, we talked about potentially leaving signs on the refrigerator that kind of shock you out of that trance.
Maybe something that says, are you really hungry? You know, in big, bold letters. You know, they do have a couple of inventions out. I've seen, it's like a little alarm that goes on your fridge and it's like an oinking pig. Or they have the cookie jar that's a cow that every time you open the top, it moos at you.
Right.
So you're consciously aware now that you're reaching in to take a cookie and you're being a cow, I guess, is what it's telling you. It's just another thing to bring your awareness. Something that I started doing, this is something that I implemented after I had my second child. And I found myself now at home. I was an at-home mom. I had a lot of time on my hands, especially when the baby was napping. And I found myself sitting there and eating every time I got bored. So I had this great idea one day. Every time I start to eat something, I'm going to put the food down and I'm going to go walk on the treadmill. I can listen to music, I can watch TV, I can read a book, but I'm going to walk on the treadmill. And believe it or not, I lost that baby weight faster than I had with my first child. And it was just making the conscious effort of every time I, not necessarily feel hungry, but every time I feel like I'm going to go to the kitchen and get something to eat, I'm going to walk on the treadmill first, even if it was for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I changed my mind, you know, about what I was planning to eat, you know, probably a piece of chocolate or something that was convenient and hiding in the pantry. You know, I totally shifted that. And that was kind of the beginning of me getting back into exercise, actually.
That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. And so it seems what you did is, you know, we've talked about how you can't leave a vacuum empty. You've got to fill it with something. Mm-hmm. So once you've broken the pattern, and what once you broke the pattern by requiring yourself to exercise before you go and eat something, mm-hmm. you filled it with that new habit.
You know what? It felt so good. I felt so in control by just making myself walk for 5 or 10 minutes. You know, not everybody's got a treadmill or something, but you can always jump rope. You can always go outside and go for a walk. If you feel like you're going to go to the fridge and you're like, wasn't I just in there? Didn't I just have a snack? You know you're not hungry. Go do something.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Very, very good. Thank you for that.
Sure.
The next one, impulse obstacles. Mm. This is an easy one. You know, you're walking through the shop. I remember this time when you and I were we were texting back and forth. You know, I think we both were at a supermarket at this time.
I think we were.
And we were shopping. And for me, it was Twizzlers.
It was Twizzlers. And I was like, ooh. And I think for me, it was like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups or something. I was taking pictures and sending them to you.
Yeah, yeah. We were talking about how, you know, when you see them, it's like I didn't have a craving prior to seeing the food.
The pretty package.
Uh-huh.
The tantalizing, like just the red color of the Twizzler.
Yes. Yeah, listen to the way that you're describing it even. This is the way that advertising and marketing really gets us.
It really gets us good.
Mm-hmm. So one way of kind of dealing with these impulse obstacles where, you know, you may be, for instance, when I'm driving home and I pass a McDonald's, you know, I think of an Oreo McFlurry. You know, that would be one of my weaknesses. And
you know what I think of when I think of McDonald's?
What's that?
Totally off topic, but chicken selects. What is it with those things? I mean, I could just go have chicken breast at home, but I guess because they're deep fried with all that breading on the outside,
it sounds good.
All the sodium. I don't know.
Can you guys hear the humanity in our voices as we're talking about this? I mean, these are our crutches, and everybody's got them. I don't care who you are. Some people are blessed with the metabolism to eat that junk mm-hmm. and not put on significant amounts of weight, mm-hmm. but
doesn't mean it's healthy for your heart.
Exactly,
your heart and your
those people don't have the that thermometer that tells them that you're doing things that are unhealthy, and so that's a plus that you got and I got. Thank you very much.
We put on weight by driving past McDonald's and smelling the fumes.
So the solution, you know what? If we're talking about shopping for food, mm-hmm. you never shop without a list, and you never buy something that's not on your list.
Very important. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I think another thing for this is if you want to try new foods, because I find myself getting bored of buying the same thing over and over. I'll always go buy oatmeal. I'll always buy eggs. I always buy almond milk. I always buy, you know, the same fruits and vegetables. I get kind of stuck in a rut. So if I can't think of anything new to buy, I'll pick out a recipe and I'll write down the ingredients and then I'll buy those new things and then I'll cook the food. And again, that also takes me back to the whole cooking the food and not wanting to eat as much because I've been preparing this food now for half an hour or whatever it is.
Right. Mm-hmm. Very good. And there's something to be said about that. You know, honestly, I think, and I've discussed this before, I think briefly, I think the biggest problem with our society as far as why people are overweight is because there's this disconnect between movement and food.
Yeah.
You know, back when we were cave people or in Paleolithic days, we had the connection was this. We had to move to eat and we had to eat to survive. Therefore, we had to move to survive.
Yes.
Now that's not the case, is it?
No.
Food's within arm's reach most of the time.
Oh my gosh,
you don't have to move at all.
Grab a bag and take it with you everywhere you go.
Right. So I do like that concept and we've talked about it before, but repetition is the mother of all skill. You guys got to repeat this stuff in your brains until you get it as part of who you are.
You know, something you said before we started podcasting about the impulse obstacles that I thought was really important. If you've got something that you think you want to buy at the grocery store on impulse, whether it's Twizzlers or Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, whatever, put it on your next grocery list. Look at the grocery list, you know, throughout the week or before you go grocery shopping for a few days. And by the time you actually get to the grocery store, you'll have thought about it enough that you'll probably make a much wiser choice when it goes to buy that than you would have, say, you're just walking down the aisle and, ooh, those look good, and grab it and throw it in the basket.
Right. You got to make the rule that you're not going to buy something on impulse.
Right.
It's always got to be on the list. If it's not on this list, you can put it on the next one.
Right.
But you can't get it this time.
Right. I like that rule.
Thank you very much. Uh-huh. I made that one myself. All right. So let's go to the next one. Functional obstacles. Now, I don't know why I call them functional obstacles. I think it just has to do more with the fact that, you know, these are things that determine how we function throughout the day, mm-hmm. you know. And basically, here's what it is. We all have rules that we've either formulated or somebody formulated for us that need to be met prior to us taking an action.
Yes. Right, okay. So my favorite one. Can I say my favorite one first, even though it's not number one?
We made a list, but go ahead. Give me your favorite one.
You can't swim if you've eaten within the last hour.
Okay, so let's dissect this. This is a quote-unquote rule that many people live by.
Oh, my God. I've heard myself telling my kids this, and I'm not sure why.
Nobody
I don't
is.
Even know why.
You know, I can speculate that maybe it's because people think, well, maybe you'll
get a cramp or
something. It's ridiculous, folks. We have these rules, and I'll give you a few others that I have here. You must wear gym clothes in order to work out. Now, most of us probably haven't said anything like that consciously, mm-hmm. but we all live by that rule, don't we? Like, why can't we work out in jeans
t-shirt? If I don't have my gym bag, I'm like, I guess I can't go to the gym. It's very rare that I don't ever have my gym bag. I mean, I've just resorted to carrying it everywhere I go.
And that's a good point. Maybe if that's a rule that you live by, then maybe you got to have a gym bag in your car at all times.
Yeah. So I've got some hardcore rules and some hardcore beliefs, and some of them are in here, so I'm glad we're addressing this today.
All right, so let's go through the rest of them. We'll list them out, and then we'll kind of give you what we believe to be the solution. All right? So the next one is you need running shoes in order to go for a walk.
Not the truth.
You need a gym membership in order to work out.
Okay, not the truth.
You can't swim if you've eaten within an hour. We talked about that one. Mm-hmm. You can't exercise on an empty stomach. You can't exercise on a full stomach.
Okay. Both of those are totally debatable. Mm-hmm.
You can't take a 5-minute break every hour at work to take a walk. If you have a bad meal, like if you had one bad meal where you just eat junk, then the whole day is a wash. Don't a lot of us live by that rule? If we have one bad situation where we eat, let's say, a bunch of pizza, then the rest of the day is a wash. We'll start again
it's
tomorrow.
It's so much easier to just give up. That's why.
Yes. So these are just some examples, and here's the solution. Number one.
Inventory these beliefs. Go through each of them and give yourselves the whys and why nots of both of these, both sides. You must wear gym clothes in order to work out. Why? So
you can't work out in jeans? Really?
Well,
I do it all the time.
I see guys in cowboy boots at the gym sometimes. And I guess you can. They came straight from work or whatever. You can. The truth of the matter is you can. Mm-hmm. You may not choose to do that.
Right.
But come hell or high water, you're going to work out. And this is your plan. I don't care what you're wearing.
Why can't you walk in dress shoes?
Why can't you walk barefoot?
Why can't you walk barefoot?
Yeah. Socks,
have you
whatever.
Really asked the question? There are people who run super marathons, 100-mile marathons in bare feet.
Yep.
You know, some of the research suggests that the more expensive the shoe, the more likely you are to end up with foot injuries.
Mm.
So, you know, the quality of the shoe, the worse the quality of the shoe, the less likely you are to injure yourself.
Mm, okay.
And maybe that's because we don't need all this padding on our feet, and the padding makes our feet unstable.
Well, you know what? I do believe, and this is a personal belief of mine, that the padding makes it much easier to be overweight and not feel the pressure in your feet and your ankles.
Right.
And I mean, you know, the last time I got ready for a bodybuilding show, I was extremely lean. And I'll tell you, my feet never felt better.
Yeah.
Because I was so light at that time, you know, 10 pounds. But I'll tell you, when I put the 10 pounds back on after my bodybuilding show, you know, it takes me a couple of months. But I get back up to my normal stay weight. I can feel the difference.
And so that's, you know, shoes or no shoes. That's a debate for another time, I guess. But,
yes.
You know, you don't need a gym membership in order to get a good workout.
Heck no.
If you have that rule, then that means that if you can't afford a gym membership, you're done. You're just going to put on weight.
You could go to the park with your kids. You could go to the local elementary school and do pull-ups on the monkey bars and do hop-ups on the bench. If you have internet, go online and look for workouts that you can do at home, workouts you can do in your hotel room. I just recently Googled that, did a YouTube search actually, and I found a lot of great exercises that I use in my group exercise classes.
Put this stuff to the test. I think that's the key here. You know, when we talked about, you know, not swimming within an hour, why not give it a try? Maybe you just go in the pool. Maybe you have a huge meal. And you hop in the pool and you just bob around for a while just to kind of feel it out and see if you end up with some super cramp that You know, that prevents you from being able to swim.
Or just to be rebellious.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the other ones that you can't exercise on an empty stomach.
Hey, sometimes that's beneficial. I work out first thing in the morning on an empty stomach to optimize fat burning.
Absolutely. And it does work. You can't exercise on a full stomach. Why not? Maybe you can't do interval training or go for a 3-hour hard jog, but you can lift weights. You can give it a try. Put it to the test. If you end up with heartburn after a workout, maybe you say, okay, that doesn't work for me. But I'm willing to bet that for every person who works out on a full stomach and gets heartburn, there are 10 others who don't.
Right.
So, you know, why not? Why can't you?
Right.
You can't take a 5-minute break every hour at work. Really, folks? I mean, you can't get up and go for a run up the stairs or something? Sure. Nobody's going to notice you're gone. Just tell them you're going for a bathroom break.
If you have one bad meal, the whole day is a wash. We talked about that. Not the truth. You have one bad meal. Okay, move on.
So the
pick up the board off the floor and put it aside and keep moving.
Right. So the solution is inventory your beliefs.
And ask yourself if you know for a fact. For a fact that these are true. And we just went through all of those and pretty much debunked every one of those myths. And if it is true to you, then formulate a plan to get around it.
Right. So let's say we go back to the you can't exercise on an empty stomach and you can't exercise on a full stomach. Maybe you find that when you exercise on an empty stomach, you feel lightheaded. Maybe you find if you exercise on a full stomach, you get heartburn. Mm-hmm. So what do you do then? You formulate a plan.
That's right.
To get around those obstacles.
You got to do what works for you. But if you don't know if it works for you, you got to try it.
You got to try it. You got to at least debunk it. All right.
The next one is extremely important, and we touch on this all the time. Social obstacles, a.k.a. people in your life, whether they're your siblings, whether they're your parents, your best friends, you need to surround yourself with people in your life that are...
supportive, at least.
Supportive, at least, or maybe even headed towards the same goal.
Exactly. I mean, you may not be able to choose your family members, but you can choose who you spend your time with.
Yes.
And so, you know, find people who are health conscious, who are fitness conscious, because they will help you. People who want to go out and drink and eat fried foods all day, they hurt you. They're either helping you or they're hurting you. It is rare that there's anybody in your life who's like Switzerland, right? It's rare that there's anybody that's neutral. Yeah. They're even having a positive impact on your life or they're having a negative impact on your life.
Right. Surround yourself with the positive. Why wouldn't you? Your whole life becomes more productive. The last one we have to talk about is proximity obstacles. And these are basically location obstacles that have to do with like proximity.
To where you are at a particular
time. Yeah, to where you are. So pick a gym between work and home.
Yes.
Or what's another one?
Fitness equipment. You got to where fitness equipment is located. If it's upstairs and you reside mostly downstairs, and let's say the treadmill is not in front of the television. Maybe it's upstairs in the area where you have your books and stuff or in your bedroom. Maybe that's not the ideal place for it. Maybe your husband or wife goes to bed early and you're up late and the treadmill's in the room. You can't use it then.
So make it convenient, just like the healthy foods.
Right.
All the equipment and things you're going to be doing to keep yourself physically active, make it convenient.
If you've got a snack machine that's right next to your desk, maybe it's time to lobby that snack machine out of the office.
There may be somebody down the hallway that wants it next to their desk.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are all just proximity obstacles that are very easy to get rid of in your life. So, you know, I mean, that kind of concludes our discussion in reference to obstacles for now.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll revisit it in the future because really, people get started, right, with these programs. And the biggest issue is falling off the program, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about it before, and I'm going to mention it again, that give yourself the 30-day challenge. And what I don't care whether it's exercise, whether it's eating right, whether it's both, and it really should be both. I think if you're going to make a plan and implement it, if you're not somebody that already eats really healthy, do both. Give yourself 30 days. Make it a habit before you decide that it's not for you.
Right. And, you know, just really keep learning, folks. You know, this concludes today's podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. You have any Facebook announcements?
Join us on Facebook.
Just search for Cut the Fat Podcast, all one word, and it you'll see it right pop right up.
We love to hear your questions on there because I know if you're wondering something, somebody else out there reading probably is too. And people love to read the question and answers on there. And we're pretty good at getting back to you right away.
Yes. And I think people are having a lot of fun with it. We're getting some really great comments and getting to know you guys out there. So definitely check it out. Facebook, go to Cut the Fat Podcast. Also check us out at www.cutthefatpodcast.com. And, of course, I'm going to leave you with the Grove Lincolns, as they have been so nice as to let us use their music coming in and going out on this show. No other announcements?
Only that the Grove Lincolns makes me think of grilled cheese. I'm hungry.
All right, guys. We'll see you guys next time on Cut the Fat Podcast.
A little humanity. Good night, guys. Are the same things that make you sick world out there?
Make you feel your days, but for now I wish you'd just come back when you're okay. Forget your shoes, just wear your flip-flops in the snow. It's hard to really care.